Well, bless the Lord. Amen. That was wonderful. Was it not, church? Amen. Anytime they brag on Jesus and bring up the blood, that's worthy of all praise. I don't know about you. I about had a spell down there, but I didn't do it because I didn't know how y'all would act about it. But it is, once again, it's good to be here. Brother, you could have left that cup up here because I was just down in the Holy Land yesterday in the valley, and watching my Tigers win again. But anyway, it is good to be here today. Once again, what a blessing it is, an honor just to be behind this sacred desk. I want to thank Pastor Zach for a privilege and honor to be here today at Bat Cave Baptist Church. I guess y'all go on bat time, right? And so I hope we're on the same bat channel this morning. And some of you who are that age, you understand what I'm talking about. But we are grateful to be here today. We are from the upstate of South Carolina. We're actually transitioning between the church that I was at for 20 years as pastor, just resigned back in August. And we don't know where God's sending us, but he does. And that's all that really matters. And until that time, I'm just waiting for God to open up a door. And when he does, we'll walk through it and stay in it until God says different and he calls us home. Amen. But I'm blessed to be here, as I said. As Brother Ronnie's already said, blessed to have my wife with me, my helpmeet for over 31 years. Hey, listen, church. Every man ought to say, you outpunted your coverage when you married who you married. Amen. And God's blessed me with a wonderful spouse and helpmeet in many different ways. And we got she's actually my blood kin, a cousin, but she's a family friend. Miss Sherry, she's with us today, and just a blessing to have her with us. But that's not what it's all about. If you got your Bibles with you and you're physically able to do as such, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark in the New Testament, of course, chapter 6. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6. And I pray if you physically able to do as such, to stand in honor of reading God's holy word, as we read his word together. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. If you're there, say I am. If you're listening, say I am. All right, then we can go with that. Let's look at what God's word says this morning. Then he, meaning Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, meaning Nazareth, and his disciples followed after him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. Hold on to that thought. Saying this, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not a carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty works there. Listen to this, church. He could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now listen to this, church. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went from there about the villages in a circuit teaching. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, that name which is above every name, that name which has already been escorted and invited in this place in prayer and praise of these two young men, and this young man and this young lady who has ushered us into a place of worship. Lord, I pray that any spirit outside the Holy Spirit be removed in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that I decrease, that you increase, it'd be all of you and none of me. Lord, I pray you'll give your church ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart of obedience to follow after you, hard and heavy. Lord, sit down among us today. Speak to your church. And we pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. What our amazing God is amazed at. Now, if you are a grammar student out there, you said, I cannot believe he left that at the end of the sentence. But we're not talking about grammar this morning. We're talking about the Lord. You know, I've already been welcomed here. Small Mountain Church, every one of you have given me a wonderful welcome. Zach Summer told us that just this week when we were down there with him at Pastor's Conference. Said, those people will love on you. You'll have a wonderful time there at Back Cave Baptist Church. And I have been. We have been welcomed. And there's nothing like being welcomed as a church. To know that you got a place where you feel like you belong. And by the way, that's what everybody in a lost and dying world is looking for, a place to belong. And the place that we ultimately know that we all should want to belong and everyone to belong is in Christ Jesus. And this place, as a church, this should be a welcoming place. Amen? Not a place where people feel like they're outsiders or outcasts. By the way, any one of us, apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, were once outcasts. But I'm glad that Christ Jesus came to those who were outcasts, down and outs, and nobodies to save their souls and welcome them into His glorious family. I love that welcome, don't you? I've been saved over 27 years, and it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. But you know, that welcome is that we see in the churches, sometimes is not seen everywhere in churches. Even when Jesus shows up, sometimes they say, you know, we like our thing our way and the way we do it. And Jesus, we don't really want you around. I want you to think with me this thought. Here's the setting. Let me set the tenor and the tone of the text here this morning in the Gospel of Mark. And we do know, as you're a Bible student, and if you're not, the Gospel of Mark is actually the eyewitness account of Simon Peter. Y'all know who Simon Peter is, right? The man who could be labeled as chronic foot and mouth disease. Anytime he'd open his mouth, he'd stick his foot in it. But you can say what you want to about Simon Peter. He's the only one that walked on water. He's the only one that had faith to go out to where Jesus welcomed him to. So Jesus was out and about teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, welcoming people to the kingdom of God. Here we see in the Gospel of Mark, there's an urgency of this gospel. All throughout it, you'll see where it says, immediately, Jesus went here. Jesus did that. He was ultimately about the Father's business. In this circuit here, we know that Jesus began His earthly ministry where at? At the baptism. It was there when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all showed up in the same place at the same time. And by the way, that wasn't the first time they've met. You know, they haven't had to meet because they always have been. Amen, church? Now, if y'all talk to me, we'll get out of this a whole lot quicker. But immediacy, Jesus enters in 30 years old and the kingdom of heaven has arrived. The King of heaven has arrived. Salvation has come through Christ Jesus. And then he begins to go and preach the glorious salvation that will be wrought through his death on the cross. And you would think that would be good news, and it is to us. But in his own hometown, he didn't even receive that. If you look at Luke chapter 4, you remember Jesus went in and he went into the religious leader that day and he began to teach and he said, I came to preach good news to the captives. And these wise religious men listened to him, this Jesus, and they said the same thing they said in this text. Who does he think he is? That's just Joseph's boy. You know Mary's. Y'all country folks, aren't you? Y'all get around folks like that. That when they try to describe to you who they are, you know, that's so-and-so's boy. You know, he lives over yonder next to over there. Yeah, yeah, he's kin to such and such. Yeah, that's him. Oh, but that's just Joseph's boy. He worked down at the carpenter shop. Look, I saw him sitting in that little chair his dad made one day. Who is this man to come tell us what the kingdom of heaven is about? Hey, we know because we are descendants of Moses. We know the law. Hey, listen, church, you can know the law and not know the Lord. You can be close to Christ but not knowing Christ. Jesus was not welcome. Two times we'll see in Luke 4 and this passage, it's told that Jesus, we don't want you around. And it says this, church, listen, that when he heard this, when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Now let that thought just sink into your hearts and into your minds. A God in whom which nothing's ever occurred. Is that? There'll never be a time, church, listen. There'll never be a time that Jesus will just say, whoo, that caught me by surprise. Oh, wasn't expecting that one. But here is the Lord, the omniscient, omnipresent God, always there. He hears and sees what this people in his own hometown said, and he marveled. Literally what this Greek word means, that he was mind-boggled. He said, I can't believe this. If you only knew what I came and can do, you would welcome me with open arms. Haven't you felt that same way, church? When you tried to share the gospel and people are unwelcome to it. By the way, there's no such thing as an unsuccessful witness. The only unsuccessful witness is the one you don't do. Jesus lays out the welcome mat in his own hometown once again. That's just like Jesus, isn't it? They threw him out the first time and he keeps coming back. And hey, church, I'm so glad that we've got a God of second chances. We've got a God whose grace mat is always placed out for us. I'm telling you what, I'm about to preach myself happy this morning. And we ain't even got into this yet. A place where Jesus isn't welcome. I want you to ask yourself this question as you sit there this morning. Is your church a place where Jesus is welcome? Is your heart as a believer a place where Jesus is welcome? See, because the real truth of Scripture is Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. We're living in a pluralistic society says that you can have Jesus, and I'm just going to sum it up in one big way as the world offers, junk. I want to keep my junk and I want to have Jesus too. Don't work that way. Jesus tell you, keep your junk until you lay your junk aside because I'm the only one that's going to be Lord in this equation. Amen? And see, this is what we see. See, they were offended at Jesus' teaching. Let me show you some things here. If you got pen, pencil, mascara, crayon, whatever, write, because someone has well said that the faintest ink is better than the best memory. And at 52 years old and counting, that is so true. I can have a grocery list and forget where I put my grocery list. No matter if you write it down, if you forget where that is. But anyway, look at this with me. Let's go to the text here. Notice the scoffing reaction of those familiar with Jesus. Now that one word is key. familiar with Jesus. They know about Him, but they don't know Him. That's the big difference. You can know a lot. You can have a ton of religion and not one ounce of salvation. You can know the Bible back in front, but if you've never met the God of the Bible, by the way that He says, by repentance of sin and placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have never been saved. Not my words, His words. Notice this scoffing reaction here. It says here, He went back to Nazareth, His own country. His disciples followed after Him during the Sabbath time, so it'd be crowded. And He began to teach in the synagogues. People who know about God still are amazed at His teachings. They'll say these things. Does God really say things like that? That's as old as the beginning of the first problem. You remember when Adam and Eve were sitting there and they said, did God really say that? But I want to tell you what, based on the authority of God's word and the God of the word, God's teaching is fundamentally and faithfully from Him. Amen? See, but when you see someone who says they know Him, but they don't want to know His word, we got a big problem. As they said down in NASA, Houston, we got a big problem. He comes in and He teaches them. Now, you know what He does not do, Batcave Church? He didn't come sit on a stool and grab a cup of coffee. Not that there's anything wrong with coffee if you like that. And Brother Ron, he don't say, let's talk about our best life now. Let's talk about our felt needs. Let's talk about five ways that you and your puppy can get along. Let's teach the third and fourth verses of Kumbaya. And let's light a candle while we're doing it. I got a good Greek word for that one. Hogwash. I got a Hebrew word for that, Brother Ronnie. Baloney. He comes in and He teaches. Now listen to this, church. Listen. Y'all listen. Here is the word teaching the word. And they listen to the Logos and they say, it's not enough. And see, that's the difference between knowing about Him and knowing Him. Romans 10:17 says this, church. Faith comes by hearing. But hearing comes by the what? The Word of God. And that's the first way that Jesus is not welcome. You won't take Him at His Word. His Word is enough. Amen? Thank God for worship. But it's the Word of God and the God of the Word that brings salvation. Amen? I know why Zach's so skinny. Walk up and down these steps much of the time. Hey, by the way, he ain't always been that skinny, y'all know. We jokingly say he fell away from Baptist grace. He pushed away from the table. No. But not only they scoffed at His teaching, the different side of the same coin, He says, they scoffed at His truth. Where did He get such wisdom as this? They should know this because it's probably been told throughout the land when Jesus sat down as a 12-year-old. Y'all remember that story? During the same period of time at the Sabbath, His mom and dad, Joseph and Mary, earthly parents, they went down to the hometown to celebrate the Passover, Sabbath. And as some parents do, You remember, it's an amazing story. They get all the way back home. Joseph's probably talking about, hey, carpenter trading. Mary's probably talking about the deal down at the store. She's got him. He's got him. And they get home. Hey, where's Jesus at? Now, this parenthetically, this ain't what we're teaching on. How do you lose Jesus? But you know where you found him at, Brother Ronnie? In the synagogue. Teaching. And the sages, religious leaders that day were sitting there, marveled. Who is this kid that knows these things? This is the same one. They marveled at his teaching. Where does he get this wisdom? Every time you look into the claims of Christ, I want to tell you what, it proves itself to be true. With every spade in the ground, archaeology says God's word is true. With every look into space, and we're seeing more and more universes and more expanse of this galaxy, and there hadn't been a Big Bang theory. There's been a Big Bang reality, because the great I Am says being it was. Everything points that there is a God. By the way, it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian. You got to explain more into existence and out of existence. They're amazed. They're not only amazed at his teaching and his truth, but they're amazed by his transformational touch. The reason I know that the gospel is true is how it changed my life. If y'all would have knew me before Christ, I'm a lot like you, Pastor Zach. It's almost so foreign to who Zach is and y'all knowing him now that it doesn't seem to be a reality that he could do the things he said he used to do. But God. He'll take something like Zach and myself and you, a mess. And when he touches your life, he transforms you. See, that's another thing they've marveled at. They saw what Jesus was doing. Brother, hey, I feel like you left out, so I'm going to come over here to you. He went and he touched those deaf ears. Can you imagine? You see those stories and you know the new procedure they got to people that's never heard, and then they got the videos and they hear for the very first time and they are amazed. Can you imagine as Jesus walked up to those people and he touched those blind, deaf ears, those blind eyes? And even greater still, his best friend who'd been in the grave 4 days. And I love how the King James Version puts it. Lord, we can't roll that stone away. Surely he stinketh by now. But here's the God. When he gets on the scene, he don't even have to touch. He can just say a word because he is the word. And transformation happens. Lazarus! Lazarus, come forth. Yeah, that's about to get me stirred up. They saw these things. They saw how Jesus touched and healed the blind, lame, and they leaped. They saw the dead. Dead and come back to life. And yet, they say, it's not enough. It's almost mind-boggling, isn't it? To the point they say, Jesus, we don't even want you here. And in the last straw of it all, church, listen to this. They talk about his tribal ties. Tribal ties. I'm sorry, I'm guilty. I'm a Fruitland graduate. alliteration was sewn into me. I sat under Kenneth Ridings, and I was in a class at Fruitland one day, and somebody asked, Kenneth Ridings, have you learned how to alliterate the alphabet yet? Wrong thing to ask him. If y'all understand what alliteration is, that was, he didn't take jokes like that very well. But tribal ties. They went back, Brother Ronnie, to his lineage. They say, I know where he was born. I saw him. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus? I've often asked these questions from time to time. Did he ever do anything wrong? Did Joseph ever wear his tail out? I can't believe. If he's a parent and he was a child, there's not a child in this world at some point don't need their tail wore out. Matter of fact, that might be another sermon for another day we need to get back to. But they say, isn't this the carpenter's son? And by the way, when that was said, it was actually a slap in the face. Because what they were saying, you do know how he actually came into it. Rumor has it. They can say what they want to. Mary was pregnant. And they wouldn't even marry. That's somebody else's daddy, baby. I think that's Joseph, the carpenter. I know his brothers. His sisters. That's just old Jesus. Here's where the rubber meets the road, church. Jesus is either the greatest liar that's ever lived, a raving lunatic, or he's either Lord of all. But here's a people who knew about him and could know really about him. But they said, we don't even want you here. That's sad, isn't it, church? To be so close to freedom and forgiveness. Of knowing Christ. And that's the way we should be with lost people. If we could shake salvation into them, I would be a walking earthquake. But only the Holy Spirit can reveal truth. Only the Holy Spirit can draw them to salvation. But guess what? There's enough evidence in his teaching and in his truth. You can check out his family ties. And they do go all the way back to Joseph, but they also go back to somewhere else. The very beginning. But they also go further back than that. He's always existed. But they said, the sad truth is, they refused to follow Jesus. To know all the facts. To know what it takes to make Jesus welcome in your life and in your church. Jesus, I know what the preacher says. I know what my Sunday school lesson says. I know what my grandma and granddaddy taught me. It's not enough. Let me show you the sad results and we'll wrap this thing up. It's not as much as the reaction of the people towards Jesus' teaching and truth is the Lord's reaction to it. Remember what I said earlier on? Here's a God that nothing's ever occurred and he sees and hears out of a heart of love how much he wants to change your lives, and they say, You see, just as you peruse this text, the Savior's desire to transform lives. He didn't come to town just for no reason. He didn't come for a vacation. Look, Jesus didn't come on a journey just to say, hey, I'm God. No, He came to those who know they are lost and undone without a Savior, and He came to change their lives. He came to transform lives. That's what Jesus does, church. And He came into His own. Look at verse 3 with me very quickly. Latter part. So they reasoned all these things about who He was and what He was saying. And they were offended at Him. The root word for that, church, is they were scandalized. They say, who is this man who makes these claims as if he's God? We know who he is. And another thing it shows us here, not only are they scoffing at his deity, but they were scandalized, offended by his declaration. No man can say these things but God. Right? Hello? Now you're tracking with me. Hello, McFly. He is God. Amen, church? He is God who has come in human form. He is the promised Messiah. And they were offended at Him. And here's one of the saddest things in verse 5. Jesus could do no mighty work there except healing a few sick people that He laid His hands on. Why? One word. One word, church. Unbelief. Shackling an omnipotent God who has all power. And there's nothing that's impossible with our God. You believe that? But you know how you can handcuff the Holy One? Unbelief. Is there a lost loved one you say, you don't know him or her? No, you don't know our God. Do you know where he or she was born at? Do you know where he came from and who he is? But Jesus could not do many miraculous things, many mighty things in that city, in that town, because they refused to believe by faith. God is who He says He is, and God could do what He said He'd do if you would only believe. I sat in a stadium yesterday with 82,500 and something, orange, white, and purple clad family. There's a few black and gold spattered around. They didn't stay long. Anyway, enjoy it while you can. But you know what? Brother, I was sitting there, and I'm 6'4", and something. I could have been on the field. And I was sitting there, and you know, we was packed in there like sardines. They had a little number where I was sitting at. Probably could have had two. But we was packed in there, shoulder to shoulder. Nobody wanted to leave. Go Tigers! When the fight thing, they'd all get up there and they'd raise their hand around, just cheering and cheering, side by side. Stand up, sit down. Stadiums were packed with fans of teams. And churches You can pick your seat. You can spread your stuff out. Is that God's fault? He came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to redeem those who need to be welcomed into Him. Why is there room here? Could it be, church, that in some way, shape, or form, we're handcuffing the Holy One because we know we're so familiar with Him that we stop being faithful to Him? Yeah, Pastor Dak, I know we're supposed to go be witnessing, you know. I'm really busy. Look, when you got saved, your itinerary changed. Your schedule changed. You belong to Him. When you got saved, He became the resident King on the throne of your heart. Like I said, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Jesus is not an app on your phone. Jesus is not an addition to your life. Colossians chapter 3 says, He is your life, church. You didn't. By the way, you were a walking dead person until you met Jesus. And since the day I met Jesus, my life has been radically different. And I want the people to know about that radical difference that He could do in their life as well. But you know what we got to do? Walk out in faith believing that God can do the impossible when He's in there. And when Jesus shows up, something's going to happen. And if you don't want it to happen, you know what He'll do? As a gentleman, He'll walk out that door. Because He won't stay anywhere that unbelief and an unwelcome spirit is there. He'll give any church that wants to the license to be a social club for the rest of your life. And then when that ends, you know what? That social club might come by. Tell you a true story. In the city I was born and raised in, across from the University of South Carolina, Lancaster, that university. Bad taste in my mouth. There was a church planted. Strategic. College kids everywhere. The community coming to it. But there was two women in that church that kept it strangled. They were those ones on that steering committee. And as long as their hands were on the steering wheel, they were happy. And it come down to the point that they kept walking in unbelief, church, that it got down to those two women and their families. And then most of their families, brother, began to leave because they said, there's nothing here for us. And the truth is this, church. Those two women became the sole rightful owners of how that church was going to go on. And instead of offering that church to a thriving church locally that could come plant life into it, they chose to take all the parts and parcels down to the very spoons. Hey, you want these? You want them? To the last nickel. They took all that home with them. They did give the money, which wasn't much, back to the association. And then they sold that church building to the university for $1. That's how much you think about what Jesus did on the cross. That's how much compassion you have for a lost and dying community around you. That you'd sell out the Lord. $1. Unbelief.
going to wrap this thing up right here. Typical Baptist preacher saying, but it says here, church, verse 6, Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Notice what else it says. He went. He marveled at the unbelief and he left. This building without the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Lord is just a building. Your body and who you are without the Lord in the presence of the Holy Spirit is just an earthly tent. But when the Holy Ghost of God indwells you, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are bought at a high price, the blood of Jesus. And then that comes that word in that 1 Corinthians 6, therefore. You know what that therefore is? It's therefore something. It literally means this. Now do what it says. Do what he tells you to do. I hadn't known about Frank Howard's saying about Howard's Rock at Clemson, but they did a little montage on the screen yesterday that I thought would be fitting. Howard Rock is where the players lay their hands on the rock before they go out on the field. And they run down the hill, the most exciting 25 seconds in college sports. Not my words, Brent Musburger's words. But Frank Howard, when he put that rock, which actually come from Death Valley in Arizona, they put it on there, and this coach challenged his team. If you're not going to give this team and this university and this game in which you play 110%, keep your filthy hands off my rock. I thought about that thing. Jesus said he's the rock. And he said, those who build their lives on him, nothing can overcome. And he said, and anyone who tries to build their house and their lives on any other thing is shifting sand. It's literally as if God says, if you're not going to fully believe in me, if you're not going to surrender all to me, if you're not going to trust that I'm the only way, truth, and the life, keep your filthy hands off the rock until you're ready for him to cleanse you from the filth of your sin. And by the way, there's still room at the cross. He still forgives sins. And it's the polar opposite of unbelief is belief. If you'll believe that Jesus died personally for you, if you would by faith receive Christ Jesus on his terms by repenting, turning from your sin, trusting in Christ alone, the Bible says if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raises Jesus from the dead, you can be saved. You know what that is? You got to move from what you hear here to here. Head knowledge is not enough. Don't miss heaven by 18 inches. Don't just know about him. You got to know him by faith. And my favorite verse, life verse, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope so, maybe so, think so. No, so. Jesus will save anybody. Today's the day of salvation. at the altar call, I'm going to ask you to come to him if you've never been saved. But what about it, Back Cave Church? Do you want to see God work in mighty, miraculous ways in your church, in your community? He wants to. He really does. And by the way, I'll go even further than that. He is. Whether you join him or not, he is. If he don't do it here, he'll do it somewhere else. Well, what better thing to do is join him and hold on for the ride. And then the best part of it, he gets to use you to touch lives as his mouthpiece, his hands, his feet. Don't handcuff the Holy One. Make him welcome. And make those who don't know him, welcome them to him. Father, in Jesus' name, as our heads are bowed and more so our hearts, I'm reminded of that centurion who sent his servant to you. He had a loved one who was dying. Send for Jesus. He's the only hope that I have. And upon, Lord, you getting to where the centurion servant was, Lord, you heard his words. Lord, you didn't have to come. All you had to do was speak and it would happen. And God, once again, we saw where you marveled. To the point you said in your glorious word in Luke chapter 7, I have not seen such great faith anywhere that I've ever been thus far. Lord, that's the key to victory. Our faith in you. Ma'am, sir, if you've never been saved, will you place your faith and trust in Christ Jesus? Maybe you want to come to this altar and say, Father, I believe, but God, help my unbelief. Strengthen me in the areas in which I'm struggling. Help me to trust you, not in some things, but in all things. Lord, because we know that you can do all things. We can't do nothing. You can do all things through us when we're totally dependent upon you. Lord, I pray for Back Cave Church, this community, that it might continue to be a lighthouse, a welcome place for those who are not yet here in Christ to come. Lord, I pray that this altar call will be one where we'll be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Moment of invitation and decision. Opportunity to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't tarry long. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Commit afresh and anew. Say, Lord, I've been walking at a cold and guilty distance. I want to walk close and clean with you. Maybe you just want to pray for your pastor, your church, that lost family member, that lost friend that you have. You remember how lost you were? And how saved you are now? Share that same love with somebody who doesn't know it. That's in your place of influence. Maybe you just need to be saved. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about coming to Christ. You can be a member of every church in this county and not know Christ. You can go on through the ordinances. You can be baptized so many times. Your skin is wrinkled. It doesn't. Baptism doesn't save you. The Spirit of God through repentance saves you. Father, we thank you. I know that there are decisions that have been unseen by my own eye, but you've seen, you've heard, and right where they stand, Lord, your conviction and their confession has been heard. So we pray for this church, Lord Jesus. Lord, this is one of your churches that belongs to you. I pray you bless this pastor and this congregation, Pastor Zach and Summer. I pray for their children. I pray for the homes and families in this church. I pray in Jesus' name that our light will so shine. But more so, that the life we're living is an open invitation for you to live through us, and that others might see a welcome mat of hope found in our lives. To that end, Lord Jesus, I pray your will be done. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Bat Cave. I was blessed by being here. Brother Ronnie, I don't know if I'm going to turn it over to you, and I don't, but my wife and I are going to go back here to the back and greet you folks. But once again, it's a blessing. Y'all listen really well. And y'all been putting up with Zach for a little while or so. And so, but God bless you. And pray for us as we pray for you, as God transitions us to the next place of service. And I ask, just a personal privilege, pray for my wife. She had an accident 2 years ago, almost lost her life and literally her leg. And she's a walking miracle, literally. But it's still a long ways to go. But God, we're going to continue to believe because he's able. He is able. So y'all join us in praying for that. We greatly appreciate it as we pray for you.